Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling in life, stay with us for this amazing series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about Pastor Rick Warren's best-selling book called The Daniel Plan. This amazing book will revolutionize the way you look at health, food, and friendships forever. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called What It Really Takes to Change.
All right, let's go to the second principle. First principle is I commit my body to God. That's dedication. The second principle is verse number two, was the principle of concentration, and that is I must refocus my mind. That's what the Bible says. That's the second step. I must refocus my mind. And this is verse 2. Now, the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. He's talking about the way the world thinks. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the reason why he starts here with the mind is because whatever gets your attention gets you. And what he's talking about is you got to stop thinking about what you don't want, start thinking about what you do want. You got to start focusing on what's bad for you, start focusing on what's good for you. You got to stop focusing on your plan and start focusing on God's plan. You got to stop focusing on what everybody else wants you to do and start focusing on what God wants you to do. You got to stop focusing on the negative and start focusing on the positive. You've got to transform and by the renewing of your mind. Now again, this is a very powerful verse. I could spend literally hours unpacking this verse. So let me just hit the high points. Now first it says, do not conform. Now you know what conform means. That means to copy everybody else. And too often, we let everybody else shape our lives. Have you ever done anything stupid, dumb, risky, or unhealthy because everybody else did it? Oh, yeah, because it was popular, because it was the cool thing to do. Nobody ever actually smoked a cigarette because they liked the smell of it. They started because they saw somebody else do it, and then they got addicted to it. Now, I could give you 100 other things where you start because of somebody else. You start because of somebody else. Do not copy. Okay, don't conform. Notice it says any longer. Circle that, any longer. Now, when you do something for a long time, do you know what that's called? It's called a habit. And what starts off as copying other people becomes a habit in your life. It becomes habitual. And when you've done it for a long time, all of a sudden you're no longer copying it more. It's your habit. It's your habit. It's your hurt. It's your hang-up. It's your addiction. It's your compulsion. It's now yours. You own it now because you've been doing it for a long time. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, the point is this. Everything that you've learned in life, you learned from a pattern. You learned from a model. It's how we learn. It's like how little ducks are patterned by the mama duck. You learn by a model. The problem is, there are no perfect models in the world. Every human being is imperfect. So you had, for instance, some models for conflict resolution growing up that weren't very good. You may have had some models for anger management growing up that weren't very good. You may have learned some models for eating that weren't very good. You may have learned some models for how you use your mouth that weren't very good. You learned some models and some patterns growing up about procrastinating that weren't very good. And a lot of the models and a lot of the patterns you grew up with were defective. And you're going to have to learn some new patterns. You're going to have to not conform to those old patterns anymore. You're going to have to change the way you think. You're going to have to learn some new models and some new patterns. Now, this is the second law of change from God's Word. Would you write this down? The second law of change is, to change my life, I must change my model. To change my life, I must change my model. I've got to get a picture of a new way of doing it. I've got to see a new way. I've got to stop conforming to that old habitual pattern of the way I thought I was supposed to do it, and I've got to get a new way of doing it. Now, there's only one perfect model. God sent him to earth. His name's Jesus. And 20 times Jesus says, follow me. Why? Because he's the perfect model. Follow my example. Paul 6 times says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, imitate me. You're going to have a model. It's like when kids are growing up, they're going to be in a group. The only question is whether they're going to be a part of a negative one or a positive one. They're going to have peer influences. It is impossible to not have models in your life. So you need to choose them carefully. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that word transformed in the Greek there is the word metamorpho. Anybody remember their biology class? We get the word metamorphosis from it. What is metamorphosis? It's what happens when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. That is that word, metamorphosis. Now, when a caterpillar wraps itself into a cocoon, when it comes out, it's not a better version of a caterpillar. When it comes out of the cocoon, it's a totally different animal. That's not reformation. That's not renewal. That's not improvement. That's transformation. That's radical transformation. And you know what? Only God can do that. Positive thinking can't do that. Only God can turn a caterpillar into a butterfly. We can turn over a new leaf. Lots of people can turn over a new leaf. That's easy to do. Only God can give you a new life. The Bible calls it being born again. It means like getting a whole new life. Not turning over a new leaf, a whole new life. Being transformed. Metamorphosis. From caterpillar, ugly caterpillar, to beautiful, free butterfly. Be transformed. Totally new life. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now, friends, look at this verse on the screen about renewing your mind. The Bible says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That's those impulses and compulsions, the deceitful desires that pull you the wrong direction. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and be made new, how? In the attitude of your mind. You know, I think attitudes are kind of like diapers. You got to change them every once in a while or they start stinking. You put off your old self, be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, leave that verse up there for a minute. Notice, there's a putting off and there's a putting on. There's the putting off and there's the putting on. Now, here's the point that you need to understand. In the renewal of your mind, you got to put off before you can put on. Let's say you go over to Nordstrom's and you're looking for a new coat and you get a new coat and you take it into one of those little changing rooms. Now, you don't go into there and you're wearing a coat already and you put the coat on over your old coat. That'd be stupid because first, it's going to be hot. Second, you're not going to know if it fits. Man, this is a little bulky. No, you've got to take off the old before you can put on the new. Does that make sense? Now that's true spiritually and emotionally and mentally, okay? You gotta take off, you gotta put off before you put on. And we're going to talk about this in detail in the days ahead. This is the part of renewing your mind. Now, the third principle, let me just say this. If I were to call you up and I were to say to you, I'm going to come over to your house this afternoon. Tell me how to get to your house. What would be the first question you would ask me? Yeah, where are you? Where are you? Because you know the principle. You don't know how to get to where you need to go until first you know where you are. Okay, that's the principle of life. That's a principle of change. You don't know where you need to be until first you know where you are. Now, if I said, I'm coming over to your house, you said, well, where are you? You said, I don't know. Well, you said, I can't tell you how to get here because I may be in Hawaii. I may be in Madrid, Spain. I may be in Baton Rouge. You know, you can't give me directions if I don't know where I am. So I got to figure out where I am before I know where I want to be. And that's the third principle of change. This is the third principle that I call evaluation, the principle of evaluation. And it's verse 3, I must humbly assess my current state. I must humbly, because it takes humility, humbly assess my current state. Because the first and the greatest barrier to your change, the number one barrier to change in your life, in any area of your life, do you know what it is? It's pride. Well, I don't have any problem. What, me worry? You know? I don't see any big pink elephant in the living room. What are you talking about? See, I don't want to admit I need change. Now, the fact is, nobody has it all together. I don't have it all together. You don't have it all together. The Pope doesn't have it all together. Nobody's got it all together. The Bible says there's nothing perfect on earth except God's Word. Everything on this planet's broken because of sin. Have you noticed your body doesn't work perfectly? Your relationships don't work perfectly. The weather doesn't work perfectly. Nothing works perfectly on this planet. That's because we live on a broken planet because of sin. So nothing's perfect, but we pretend like we've got it all together. We walk around trying to impress people that we've got it all together. Now, you know you don't have it all together. God knows you don't have it all together. We know you don't have it all together. So why do you try to pretend you have it all together? I would rather admit I don't have it all together in order to get it all together than to pretend that I have it all together. Did I understand myself just then? Who's on first? Did that make sense? Okay, in other words, honesty is the best policy, and I must humbly assess my current state. And I have to admit it, when I don't have it all together. I have to admit, I have a problem with my finances. I have a problem with my health. I have a problem with whatever. Now, this is verse 3. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That's humility. But rather, think of yourself. In other words, evaluate yourself with sober judgment. In other words, be realistic about the situation you're in, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, let's look at this. First, he says, don't think of yourself more highly. In other words, be humble. I always say, be humble or you'll stumble. Remember the lesson of the whale. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when they harpoon you. And the man who gets too big for his britches will inevitably be exposed in the end. Now, don't think more highly of yourself, it says. You know, don't say, I don't have any problems. My family's perfect. Oh, really? My kids are perfect. Oh, really? My health is perfect. Oh, really? My job is perfect. Oh, really? He says, you know, stop trying to think more highly of yourself. Just be honest. Be authentic. Be real. Be humble. And he says, think of your life with sober judgment. That means be realistic. Be, the New Living Translation says, be honest in your estimate of yourself. So let me just ask you some honest questions. What are you pretending isn't a problem in your life? What are you pretending isn't a problem in your marriage? What are you pretending isn't a problem in your finances? What are you pretending isn't a problem in your health? Do you have enough courage to confront yourself? That's what this verse is all about. Do you have the courage to ask those closest to you to tell you honestly what you need to change? Do you have that kind of courage? Are you that kind of a man or a woman? To ask the people closest to you, be honest with me. Tell me the truth. I'm doing self-intervention on me. You don't have to do intervention on me. I'm doing intervention on me. Where do I need to change? Lay it all out. Do you have the courage to be honest about you? Do you have the courage to ask other people to be honest about you? That's this step three in change. Evaluation. Humbly assess my current state. Now it says, do not think of yourselves more highly, be humble. Evaluate your life with sober judgment. Be honest. In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Circle the phrase measure of faith. Now, the word measure here in Greek is the word metron. We get the word metric system from it. That's what it is. The metric system. The metron system. The metron of faith. The measure of faith. Now, I've told you, I'm happy for you to set goals and reach your goals. But what I'm really more happy about is how it's going to stretch your faith over the next year. Because you're going to need more faith to reach your goals. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you're going to need, what is the measure of faith I've got and what is the measure of faith I'm going to need in order to change? Do I have enough faith to believe I can change? How much faith am I going to need to believe I'm going to change? Do I really believe I can change? Do I really believe I can be different? In all the different areas we're going to look at, how much faith am I going to need in order to grow, in order to change in these seven key areas of my life? You're going to need to increase the measure of your faith. How do you get more faith? The Bible says faith comes from hearing the Word of God. The more you hear the Word of God, the more your faith grows. This is soul food. It feeds your soul. It stretches your faith. Now, why is this important? Because limited faith means a limited future, and unlimited faith means an unlimited future. According to your faith, it will be done unto you, is what Jesus said. Now, he says, you need to know the measure of your faith. You need to take a measurement of this. Now, why is measurement so important? I want you to write down the third law of change. Okay, here's the third law of change from the Word of God, the Bible. I can only manage what I measure. I can only manage what I measure. If you don't measure it, you don't manage it. If I don't know the measure of my faith, I can't manage my faith. I can't grow in faith. If I don't know the measure of my health, I can't develop and grow in health. If I don't know the measure of where I am financially, I can't set goals financially. If I don't know the measure of where I am spiritually or vocationally or relationally, then I can't grow in those areas. I have to evaluate humbly and assess my current state. I can only manage what I measure. The fourth principle for lasting change is the principle of cooperation, and it is this. I must get group support. I must get group support. You will not make all the changes you need to make, you want to make, you'd love to make, you've planned to make, you've desired to make by yourself. If you could, you would, but you can't, so you won't. You need a group. The Bible says God wired the universe in such a way that we need each other. We get well in community. I need you, you need me. 58 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used. Love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, support one another, pray for one another, greet one another, share with one another. It's 58 times. It is the mutual ministry and support of each other through life. God never meant for you to go through life as a Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. You're not meant to go through life by yourself. Whether you ever marry or not is irrelevant, but you need a family. You need a spiritual family, and you need to be specifically in a small group.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, after baptizing more than 800 people in one afternoon, Pastor Rick quickly realized just how out of shape he was and everyone else in that baptismal pool. Soon afterward, God put it on Rick's heart to connect with a team of leading experts to create the Daniel Plan, a powerful Bible-based program that has helped more than 15,000 people lose weight, increase their energy, and improve their relationships, all while growing closer to the Lord. Stop starving yourself to lose weight and then blaming yourself for putting it back on. Start enjoying whole health today. Let Pastor Rick send you a hardcover copy of his best-selling book, The Daniel Plan, today, as his way of saying thanks for your financial gift to this listener-supported ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God has five purposes for your life. He wants you to know and love Him. That's called worship. He wants you to belong to His family. That's called fellowship. He wants you to grow in character, to be more like Christ. That's called discipleship. And He wants you to learn to serve using your gifts and talents. Serve God by serving others. That's called your ministry. Finally, He wants you to share the good news and your life message with other people around the world. That's called your mission. I'd like to close today to talk to you for just a second about your personal mission. Did you know that the Bible says every time somebody accepts the Lord, they throw a party in heaven? Did you know that? It's right there in Luke 15, verse 7, where the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 who don't need to turn to Christ, who are already there. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, there was a party in heaven for you. And by the way, the day that you help somebody else come to know the Lord, there's going to be a party in heaven, but there's also going to be a party in your heart. I want to encourage you today to look outward, to look around you and see the people who need to hear about the love of God, about the message of Christ, about the purpose of life, about the daily hope that we have in our hearts. The Bible says, always be ready to share the hope that is within you. Could I pray for you? And as we bow in prayer, you might want to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I want the joy that you've given me to be shared with other people. And a lot of times I'm afraid or hesitant to talk about you to others. Would you give me so much love for other people that the love overcomes my fears and gives me the right words to say as I share the hope that's in me? Allow me to help others find you, to find real hope, to find joy through knowing you. Thank you, Lord, so much for trusting me to help bring others to you. I want to accept my mission, and I want to use it for your glory and in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Put somebody in my life today that I can tell about you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.